This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
The mission, especially right now, early in this spring, is trying to set the culture right. I mean, just to be honest, this organization over the last, 10 years or whatever, like, it's been a losing culture in a way. We haven't really won a lot, so you have to drastically come in and try to rearrange everything, because whatever we've been doing hasn't been working, and I think that's the beauty of obviously the guys that they brought in the past couple of years with Poles and trying to reshape the roster. It's all about trying to go in and win right now. But it takes, you know, a culture of, rather if it's being details, the accountability and all that stuff. We're trying to hold everybody to the highest level, and we're trying to do it ourselves as well. So like you said, with DA and Ben, I think that's the main thing we're trying to get accomplished, is really shifting the culture, changing the culture, and not trying to do what we've done in the past and just try to look forward towards the future.
One of the grown-ups in the room last year, Kevin Byer, Bears safety, talking about where things stood before, where things are now. It's been interesting watching and reading the tweets of people who cover the Bears, them getting an opportunity to watch practice, and we'll ask Grody about this at 5 o'clock. They have seen the thing that Lomas told us about, that Lomas said, look, there's going to be tempo, Ben doesn't play around in practice. The reports out of Halas Hall has been like that has been the case so far.
This is can be confusing. There is a mandatory Bears minicamp on June 3rd. before that, there are a few different off-season workouts, off-season training activities, which are essentially voluntary, but especially with the new regime, attendance is going to be really, really good. So that's what kicked off today, is the first of these little three-day OTAs, and that's why Ben Johnson spoke today and a bunch of players spoke today, and Assembled Media has filed tape, and we get to bring it to you and think about this off-season with a different focus.
But usually they're not really making people talk. Like, it's one of those things of like the PR staff will say, hey, you mind talking during after OTAs? And people, yeah, whatever, it's fine. I'll do something like that. It'll be interesting to see if Caleb Williams speaks over the next couple of days because of the Seth Wickersham portion of the book that he's writing on quarterbacks came out, and there are a lot of people who are upset. To be clear, before we start this conversation, you and I think we have found the place where we're comfortable with this, in that I'm with Bears fans, or most of Bears fans, on this, where it's, yeah, it's what we thought. That he was proven right in having fear and trepidation about joining the Bears. If you want to quibble, you can quibble with the double back with Wickersham. Like, if those were his feelings before, and now he doesn't have those feelings, that's great. And maybe they shouldn't have gone on the record post what happened last year to kind of take a victory lap and say, yeah, this is why we felt this way.
Yeah, well,
but that's the only thing I quibble with.
I don't know, when he gave the quotes to him and said that's okay, they can be on the record, Wickersham can release them whenever he wants. You know, book's been done. This is an excerpt to tease it. But I'm there. The point is that this thing is alive as a story until he speaks and buries it. Like, it is alive. And it has a life of its own until he speaks and contextualizes it, whether that's this week or the next time there are OTAs
in June, or whenever.
See,
I feel like you should just slay the beast right now.
So do I.
Especially what we'll get to in a minute. But to me, it's one news cycle.
Yeah, he could end that news cycle today, and he chose not to.
And then when we walk back into mini camp in June,
we're done.
There's no... Then we can talk about the football part of it.
Right. And spoiler alert, a bunch of players talked today. Caleb wasn't one of them. Mark Rohde will bring us tape from a lot of those people at 5 o'clock. But the way that Ben Johnson started his press conference, Lawrence, it seems like he understood that it probably made sense to address the elephant in the room directly. So whether Caleb did or not, Ben Johnson kicked it off like this.
It's come to my attention that the quarterback's been out in the media over the last week. And just to get out in front of that a little bit, I just wanted to say I wasn't here last year. And so I can't speak too much in terms of what it was like before he got here and when he got here last year. But from my 4 months on the job, he's been outstanding to work with. And we just are focusing on getting a little better every day.
And what's your process of building the trust of Caleb and getting his full buy-in under your watch?
Yeah, it starts with developing a rapport and a trust, and that's earned over time. You don't walk in day one and expect that to be achieved. And so the more time we spend together, he understands that I have his best interests at heart, and vice versa. He's going to go out there and play as well as he possibly can, not just for himself or me, but for the whole team and the city. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So we're very much aligned in terms of what we want to get done, and it just takes more time on task in terms of getting on the same page with how we're going to do it.
Are there ways that you watch film with your quarterbacks that might be, does it vary from coach to coach? When you've got these four guys here, are there things that you're teaching them that they need to, you know, see the way that you see it? Is that a part of like this part of the time of the year? Is that part of the process of teaching them? Or
yeah, everyone's different. I've been around a number of coordinators, a number of quarterback coaches. And so I would say my style is kind of a combination of everything that I've been around and I've come to learn and love and appreciate. And so there's a process that I believe in, that we believe in as an offensive staff, that we're adhering to this springtime, and we're going to stay true to that. How we're going to develop that position in particular, and those guys are doing a great job working hard right now.
What do you think when you hear it uttered, as in from the article, from the upcoming book, that Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die? Like, from a distance, did you see that? And what do you think when you hear that?
I love it. I love the opportunity to come on in and change that narrative. That's where great stories are written. And so we're looking to write a new chapter here, 2025 Chicago Bears, and looking forward to the future.
Ah, Grody.
Y'all, it's pretty simple. That's how it's done. That's it.
I love it.
All Caleb has to do is look at those 2 minutes of Ben Johnson and put it in his own words. That's exact, and that's it. We're done with all of this. If he wants to not let it linger, shout out to the Cranberries, then he follows the lead of his head coach.
Do you have to?
I thought you were going to keep going.
No.
I love that song.
I was just squeezing it in there. Keep going.
So to me, it's pretty simple. Like, the path has been laid out, and I appreciate that about Ben Johnson. Instead of it being kind of, well, you know, that has nothing to do with me, he makes it clear it had nothing to do with him, comma, but he is like, this is what I love about my job and this opportunity that's in front of us.
Yes.
The opportunity in front of us is to completely change that. And we should lean in to the idea of changing that. The work that Caleb and I have done, we are on the same page. I love working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Caleb could just flip it and do the same thing that Ben Johnson did.
I agree.
And then we're done.
And their work is just beginning. But we know from previous reports, experiences, and results and everything how much the relationship with the quarterback matters. He and Jared Goff built a relationship hard earned through lots of time together, watching film together. And remember what Ben said at the beginning, and he said it again in April about how a quarterback and a coach need to be on the same page. Quote, "You need to be able to see the game as a play caller through the lens of the quarterback and vice versa." This is his realm of expertise. He has and will continue to sit down with Caleb and watch film together and say, "What are you seeing? Here's what you need to be seeing, because this is what I'm seeing. This is the way that I'm thinking." It may take some time, but he's not going to rest until they get to that kind of place.
I agree with you. I will just make this distinction. Watching film during a season is different than watching film during an off season, because of you're jumping into the next opponent. You're now outside of this is just the structure of this offense. It's this is our game plan against this particular team. That being said, JT O'Sullivan told us yesterday that, and it's clearly different experiences for different quarterbacks. Because Kurt Warner said a couple days ago that it's incumbent upon each person to figure out how to do it. JT was like, "Look, I watched film with coaches."
Yeah, they watched it with me. But JT did say the same thing about it needing to be both of them. I thought it was a great back-to-back guest hit by our guy Alex Kuhn, because JT ended up in a similar spot. Like, there's some personal responsibility, but there's some coaching responsibility.
It's interesting, too, because Kurt, as he talked it through,
got there, too.
Got there as well.
Damn right.
Saying that, yeah, the coaches have got to do a better job if they feel like they're seeing that a guy doesn't understand what's going on.
And in that regard, like, it's the coach's responsibility, I think, to figure out what's not working in the relationship and make it work. Can we hear this piece? This is Ben Johnson, a little bit more, Tanny, on the coaching and relationship stuff with Caleb, because this is the part that I think fascinates me and Lawrence both the most, how it's going to work between those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it a number of ways in my time in the league, and really over the last few years, I've kind of gravitated towards that. It's something that I feel pretty strongly about. He and I talked about it, the reasons why we want to do it. I think it helps out certainly with the quick game from the gun, and then helps us be in a little bit better throwing posture for a lot of the other things that we're asking him to do. So when we talked about it initially, he was already kind of exploring that himself. So it wasn't so much us telling him to do it. It was more a mutual, yeah, let's see what this looks like. And I think he's taking a knack to it.
How do you go about not breaking, but changing somebody's habits that they've had their entire career to, okay, this is how we want you to stand. The feel may be a little bit different. The actions may be a little bit different, but the result has to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we've asked in all these guys right now. They're all doing some things a little bit different than what they've done in their past, whether at this level or in college. you're learning, you're growing. They are getting uncomfortable with it. I go back when I was young, someone told me it takes 21 days to learn a new habit and let it get in your unconscious. I don't know if that's true or not, but the good news is this. We had 3 or 4 good weeks on the grass with him in phase 2 and that prior mini camp that we were able to get ahead a lot of that. And he did a great job in the downtime just going ahead and taking it and running with it when the coaches weren't around as well. And we're not talking so much about the feet and the footwork anymore with him, and it's more big picture plays, routes, ball location, coverages. It's more big picture stuff now.
You talked a couple weeks ago about relating to certain players and coaching each individual the way that they need to be coached. Do you have a sense of how you as a head coach can get through with Caleb and what you need to do to really get the best out of him in that relationship?
It's still early. It's still early. We're getting to know each other. He's been in the building 6 weeks now, 6.5 weeks now, and getting to know him on a personal level. And the more time we spend together, the better I feel. We got a great coaching staff around him as well, with JT Barrett leading the charge, Declan's in the room, Press Taylor's in the room. So we've got some good seasoned voices in there. And then you bring in a guy like Case Keenum. He does a great job with his experience bridging that gap sometimes between coaching and playing and finding any potholes that could be in there. So I feel really good about the mix around him, and that allows the relationship just to naturally form.
He's talked a lot about his desire to have structure and to be coached hard. You got to love that as a coach. Get through to him that way?
Yeah, I think the great ones, they want to be coached hard. And that's really the assumption we're making with all these guys. They all, at one point in time, they've either come up to my office or DA's office or Coach Hightower's office, and they've all told us how much they want to be a good player, a good team. They want to be a part of greatness, and so we're going to treat them as such, and part of that is coaching them hard.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Hey, man, all the great ones want to be coached hard.
How about Chris Emma getting in there, getting a follow-up question in there?
Sounded good.
Wow.
What?
It did sound good.
I thought so. That's all I'm saying.
I love hearing Ben say, look, we know some of the things that we have to work on, and we're working through them. And he's been here, and he's been asking questions, and we're watching stuff together, and we're talking about stuff conceptually. Because if the player understands the concept,
yeah,
it'll be easier to teach the mechanics.
I agree. I'm sorry.
Are you lost in talking about Chris Emma?
No. I'm lost in Declan Doyle is in the room.
He's in the room.
Press Taylor is in the room.
But notice that he started with JT Barrett.
But JT Barrett is running the show. Declan Doyle is just in the room.
Because he's got to go fill out cards.
Sure.
And practice.
Saskatoon is in the room. And like, there's a lot of, some guys are just in the room. Was it last year that Jalen was talking about Eberflus just being in the room? Is that what it was? It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, but he was just kind of standing back there.
That's my fear. Anytime I hear that some coach is just like.
Or was it Justin talking about Flus being in the offensive meeting?
That's
like,
what it was.
He's in the room.
That's what it was. That's what it was. Justin Fields. Because it was some place you're like, God, I hope Matt Eberflus is in there, like taking part and like really driving.
And yeah, Justin's like, I hope he's not. I hope he's not in the room at all.
And Flus was just in the back naming bees. He's just in the back.
Thinking about all his nicknames.
Hey, Stinger!
Just looking at guys in the room. Ooh, I'm going to call this guy Spidey.
He's just in the room. Think about what he's going to nickname everybody. Ooh, I got a name for Getsy. He doesn't need a name. He's a coach. You can just call him Luke. I mean, he's right there. Whatever. He's just naming bees.
The thought bubble is just bees. Just bees buzzing. What's that buzzing in my head?
What am I going to do with all this honey? It seemed like a good idea at the time.
I don't know why I let her duck me into this.
Is that house still for sale?
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
I don't know. They were proud of it, though.
One more thing. We can play Kevin Byard here.
Good.
Him talking. No, say it right.
Good.
Kevin Byard has some thoughts about the Seth Wickersham piece and Caleb as well.
I mean, truly, I didn't really think anything of it. I kind of just read some notes. I didn't read the whole article or book or whatever is supposed to be coming out. I just kind of seen a couple quotes on it. I mean, that was before he was here. If that's how he felt, that's how he felt. You know, obviously, I can't speak for him. I can't speak for his dad. But since he's been in the building, since I've been around him, I haven't noticed any of that. I think every single day he's trying to get better. He's still a really good, talented young quarterback in his league, and he's trying to get better every day. And that's all I see from him, just working every single day, staying late, obviously, and meeting with Ben and all those guys, we're trying to right the ship. We're trying to right this organization, trying to right the culture. And that's the only thing I can see from, honestly, anybody in this organization.
So he's staying late, and I think that is – a requirement.
Yes,
and
it is.
And it might not be one that's written out, but I think that if you're going to learn Ben Johnson's offense, it's a requirement.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the stuff that merits watching. If there were some bad habits in Caleb's rookie routine, some of that obviously on him, some of that on the coaching, some of that on the relationship, whatever, there might have been some bad habits in there. I heard Mullion Hawn Biggs talking about that openly. Like, is there stuff that needs to get corrected? And I'll grant that Caleb came in there as a made guy, and there might have been a touch of that. You know, we don't know how much. And then we watched them hand everything to him and say, whatever you do is fine.
Yeah, they handed everything to him, but there was...
But now it's different.
There wasn't anyone on the offensive side of the ball that... it felt like was in charge of anything. And that means the head coach, too.
Totally. Totally. Kid was in charge. And
I don't even know if I want to say that he was in charge. Like, I don't want to put that on Caleb.
Okay.
I just want to say that no one seemed to be in charge.
Well, that ain't the case now.
That you're damn right. Because Declan's in the room.
Declan's in the room. A texter says it reminds him of when Rick Hahn was going over the possible second base options. He talked about how Romy Gonzalez was an option. Lenin Sosa is was everywhere. Room. No, he said, and Leury is...
obviously, Leury's around.
He's around.
Leury Garcia is around. Declan Doyle's in the room.
Obviously.
Now, see, I don't think he's doing Declan Doyle like that.
No, he's not.
He's got a nice mix of people from different... systems and different perspectives, and it's not just one voice for Caleb. I like that. I like that it's not just one voice. It's the way it's supposed to be with a young quarterback.
I think that it is one voice, but I think that it's filtered through many people. It's one voice. It's Ben Johnson, but his message is being filtered by JT Barrett, by Declan Doyle, by Antoine Randall.
It's like, one vision.
Yeah, it's Ben's vision.
It's Ben's vision. How can there be...
trademark.
How many cops? I mean, we got good cop, and we got black cop, and we got...
a couple of black cops.
A couple of black cops. And then we got Declan, and...
also black.
Press cop. Taylor is in the room. No. Declan's a... no. You have me thinking.
Well, I mean, now the thing on the internet, and I told both Alex and Tanny this earlier this week, if you've been inside of Reels, apparently Reddit people... now part of the community. That has now been a thing.
Really?
So welcome.
Because of Serena marrying in?
No, just that how redhead people are treated. So,
redhead people. I thought you said Reddit people.
No, Reddit.
We all thought he said Reddit.
Did I say
it? I thought it was Reddit.
I said it too fast. My bad.
Reddit people.
Went to Alexis and Serena.
Well, I didn't want to say the other word.
They're in the family now?
The other word feels like a slur to me, so I don't want to say that word.
What word is that?
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, just not.
Something about redheaded people?
Yeah, well, you know, where it has the bread connected to it.
Ginger?
That one, yes.
Wow. Oh, it's a slur?
There's some people who feel like that.
Oh, no. Have we lost the ability to call people that?
Dump them.
I'm going to need an updated list. You know? Man, Alex, can you work on that? Along with the free,
I'm on it.
Along with the free agent pitchers thing.
I'm just saying. Sorry.
What was that?
It's nothing. I'm just... yeah. I was nothing. Everything's good. Alex is doing a great job. He's doing an absolutely great job.
I think you are. I'm sorry. It sounded like Reddit. Redhead.
Yeah,
I
got it.
What I was going for.
Hey, fellas, real quick, let's go to our list. Let's see how we did.
Ooh, I'm
going
to all right. Ooh, let's go. Let's go.
Stinger.
Uh-huh. Stinger's in the room.
He is in the room.
He really is. Lawrence, a play that dominates. They tried to get it out of the league, and they can't. They just can't do it. It will not die. And Bears players of consequence have spoken about it today as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Oh, we're living the dream, and it's always good to get the Bears up and running, and I think it's especially enticing this year, just given the new head coach, and man, he was excellent again yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and we've got May practice footage to overreact to, so we've got several months on this runway to the regular season to go into it. I have been enjoying Ben since he got here in terms of the back and forth in the media room and his ability to kind of hit things head on and give you answers that mean something, and then we kind of learn about this team a little bit at a time.
Dan, you're reasonable, you're rational, you're also demanding on that beat. You've been on it for a long time. What do you want to hear next about this story, if you want to hear anything at all as it pertains to Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I want to hear Caleb's take on everything. I mean, a little bit surprising, a little bit disappointing that they didn't make the decision to make him available yesterday. Sounds like he may not be available next week either. And so now all of a sudden you're giving this story life into June, and you're giving it oxygen into June. And the next time that Caleb talks, it becomes a national conversation again. And so as an organization, you've made that decision to keep yourself in the public light in a situation that's a little bit uncomfortable. I don't think it's a huge, you know, bombshell thing that we're dealing with here, but you do want to know that the quarterback has present day thoughts on his new coach, on the new leadership of the building, on his desire to be in Chicago with the Bears, and his opportunity to go attack this process of trying to become one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So I think that's the next step here. I did applaud Ben yesterday for getting out in front of it, addressing it before he was asked a single question about it. You'd want the quarterback to do the same, to just kind of set the record straight and give you his present day perspective on where things are headed.
How much tape are they watching together now? I mean, you would imagine that as you start, I believe his first news conference came out and said that, that you got to know the quarterback and the play caller need to be on the same page. He needs to know how I see the game, what I'm thinking, and I'm sure that's part of the process. He said they were going to do it. Do you know if that's ongoing?
Right. I'd like to know a little bit more from Caleb about that as well. Yeah. You know, I know Ben said yesterday that, look, he's got a process that's a little bit of a compilation of things he's done at all of his stops across the league and a process of watching film that he believes in. And obviously this relates to the trust and buy-in that those two have to form together, right? Like they both have to believe in each other. They both have to trust each other. And it comes in a lot of different forms over these next several months to get this thing up and running properly. You're trying to create like that constructive growth environment. And that's what's important for Caleb Williams going forward. And I think, as I've said a couple of times, that Caleb has to take ownership of this as well. And that like, he can't have his hand held through all this. You are now the number one pick in the NFL draft and a professional quarterback who's going into year two. And if you don't know how to watch film on a certain day, you need to pick up your phone and ask somebody, like, what am I looking at here? What do I need to do? And you need to put in work habits and routines that work to bring out the growth in you. It's up to the Bears to guide him, and then it's up to Caleb to follow that guidance.
What I like about Ben Johnson as well is that he's pretty open about him finding himself as a head coach, learning things about his approach, and maybe it comes across as fiery or detail-oriented or whatever the case is, whatever word you want to use. But I like the fact that we're watching this unfold, and he seems to be learning things about himself as well, even though it is only the second OTA or day of install. What are you learning about Ben Johnson, head coach?
Well, look, I think you make a good point that he is very aware that this is the first time he's been in this role and that it's going to take some time to find the exact comfort zone that he wants to be in and the exact sort of groove that resonates with the guys that he's trying to lead. I think that Ryan Poles said something very early on that from afar, he sort of appreciated Ben as this brainy offensive mastermind. And then very quickly, when you get to be around him and you get to know him, there's a competitive edge that's there every single day. We saw that yesterday in the practice where, you know, he's got a level of demand to him, a level of fire to him that is real. And now it's a matter of figuring out how that resonates and exactly the impact that it has on the players. But I think it's fun to feel that competitive edge, because for guys that really want to go someplace different inside that building, I think it becomes infectious. And it's kind of one of those, you know, let's go kind of things where you get some fire and some fuel to that. Now, how long that lasts and how you can sustain that over a long period of time, that's a big question for Ben.
You know, I don't know that anything that goes on in day two of install is going to resonate through the season. But we did hear from a couple of players a year ago, they want to be coached. We want to be coached. We should be coached harder. Coach us. And he was kind of going after some people. Now, the guys that were talking like that are gone, oddly enough. But what was your takeaway from just the general demeanor of the coach?
Molly, I think it's demanding, and I think it's very detail-oriented. And I think folks in Detroit will tell you that was a part of who Ben was there. What I love is in Detroit, it came with proven success. And the role he was in as offensive coordinator and play caller, he was at the top of his game. And so he has results that give him credibility. And when he is very demanding, he can point to the 68 touchdowns the Lions scored during the regular season on offense last year and say, guys, this is why I'm detail-oriented, because it creates fireworks shows on game day. And so he's got to get that to resonate with this group as quickly as he possibly can. The other part of it, though, is I think Ben over time has also learned that when you're being very demanding and detail oriented with your players and coaches, you have to know when to turn the screw back a quarter turn, right? And not be overly demanding where you drain everybody and everybody's exhausted at how micromanaged they are. And so there is a tightrope you have to walk with that. And it's something that Ben did well in last season in Detroit, obviously, and it's something that he's going to have to figure out in a new role here at House Hall.
I believe you and Mark Grody are dropping an episode of Take the North podcast. Find podcasts later today, Dan, and I think you're doing a live version of that tomorrow on the Midday Show together. Maybe you will discuss some things that were personnel-related hints yesterday. I'm curious what you think and how much we should read into Kurron Amagaji lining up with the number ones at left tackle.
Who?
Noah Sewell lining up as a strong side linebacker with the number one defense.
Who?
And Ozzie Tripillo still being the guy that they're looking at left tackle with the second team.
Yeah, well, it's May 22nd now. That was the May 21st practice. I'm not surprised that the rookie second-round pick has not ascended to be a starter in the first week that the team's together. I would take much more note of what these pecking orders look like when we're in the first week of August, right? And so this is all just an orientation process, and the veterans are always going to get sort of that nod in the early going as the rookies get their heads on straight and their feet on the ground and try to figure out where things are headed. Look, like there's a long way to go before we know who the starting left tackle for week one is going to be for the Bears, similar at the linebacker position. So I don't read much into that. Another little note yesterday, Luther Burden not out there, you know, as we're talking about second round picks, he's dealing with a soft tissue injury per Ben Johnson, something to keep an eye on when we're back out there next week and the week after that and the week after that. Kyler Gordon was absent yesterday. Not sure why. We didn't get an answer on that one. So a handful of guys to keep tabs on. But right now, the depth chart is what it is, and when we get into training camp, it'll have a lot more relevance.
So I don't know who I don't know that there will be eight captains, but if I were appointing captains, which might be a way around avoiding whether people are voted into the position or not, I would definitely have Grady Jarrett as a captain after hearing him yesterday. Loved that. And Joe Tooney, I think. You could have a captain that's actually an offensive lineman. Even with eight, yeah, they didn't have one. That would be kind of cool. And there may be more, but it seemed like there was improved leadership, at least from the podium stuff I saw.
Yeah, and two different proven veterans there, Mully. Like, Tooney is a guy that since they traded for him, they've talked all about how much he can lead. And his leadership style is very much watch me. You know, this is the example of being a professional. If you have questions about certain things that you're seeing on film or certain things that you're looking at from a defense or certain things we're supposed to do on offense, come ask me. I'm approachable. I want to show you the right way. Grady Jarrett's voice, man. Like, and that dude is a presence. And every time we've had a chance to talk to him, you get a little bit more excited because that's a guy whose passion is very, very obvious when he talks about the game, when he talks about his desire to win. And I couldn't imagine a better option as a in the trenches, mean, tenacious, passionate guy to have as one of your engines going into 2025. So, yeah, I would definitely put him on the top of the list as leaders.
I love the whole thing with Jervon Dexter calling him up. I think that's a brassy phone call, right? You know, hey, big guy, why don't you come work out? I'm just saying. I'd sure, be a little bit intimidated.
But if his reputation is that he's welcome kinds of things, you would be more receptive to something like that.
And the other thing I liked about what Grady said yesterday is, like he's going to be asked to be leading Shamar Turner as well. And he said, like, I want Shamar to understand that he needs to see me as an equal, not as this guy that's, like, way above him. And you don't need to be meek and timid around me or quiet around me when we're in the weight room. Like, I need you to juice me up as much as you need me to juice you up. Yeah. And so, like, that being open to that and just being just that, I mean, you guys felt it, right? Like, from afar, the personality that Grady Jarrett has is going to resonate with a lot of guys. And so just lean into that and let it take you somewhere.
The turn of phrase juice me up is unnecessary, Dan.
Dan likes the juice. Dan's a juice guy. Dan's a big juice guy.
Like that's my deal. I'm a juice guy.
So Dan, this week also included, obviously, I know you followed it, the Forged in Foxborough behind the scenes video of the Patriots draft night experience. And day two, they considered trading with the Bears. The Bears reportedly had offered a seventh-round pick to move up one spot. Travion Henderson was the object of their desire, reportedly. They didn't do that. They ended up with Kyle Manungai in the seventh round and certainly Luther Burden the third in the second round. What did you think of that information? What did you think of that offer from Ryan Poles? Because it seems to me if you really wanted to move up, you might have offered more than a seventh-rounder.
Yeah, you could have sweetened the deal a little bit. Obviously, you felt okay about your contingency plans. But there are things that happen on draft weekends that like 5 minutes after they happen, you go, damn, you know, wish we could have pulled X, Y, or Z off. And I think that might be one of them for the Bears, understanding what they were looking at in this running back class. And with Henderson specifically, I wrote about that immediately after the draft, about just kind of how that running back board danced away from them. And that was the moment where it kind of danced away from them the most, you know. And so is what it is, and you pivot and you work with what you've got, and then you try to squeeze results out of it. By the way, on the topic of juice, there was maybe somebody can find it in your audio archives. There was a question to Gronk on one of those Hallis Hall conference calls years ago about Julian Edelman, and he said, "Oh yeah, man, that guy brings the juice." And it was one of the best Gronk quotes that we should probably attach to something here. On the
it's certainly stuck in your memory.
Oh, that's hysterical. That's hysterical.
That's great.
What, Dan, when you look at them, and I mean, I'm not talking about looking at what you saw yesterday, just at the overall picture, when you look at the depth chart, where do they need an improvement? Do they need an improvement? Is it easier to get another running back from somewhere else? Do you have to make a deal for a player? There are a couple of guys out there, but guys get cut too. Do you feel like that would be a position where you could improve without giving up a lot, or would you make a big trade, you know, big signing, try to get a pass rusher in here? If you were left in charge of the bookkeeping, what would your move be?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to get well into August and get a better feel for how this team is coming together. And look, like you guys know, we've seen, you know, Labor Day weekends where there's all of a sudden seven guys on the 53-man roster that weren't here during the offseason program. I don't think the Bears are in that state anymore, but it's a reminder that there is always an avenue in the summer to grab guys off the scrap heap, to see what other teams are doing and keep tabs on some of the guys that get cut in training camp and right before the regular season and make some moves there. I would like more depth at safety. I would like more depth on the offensive line. You know, like, I think you're going to be exploring those things, but like the Bears, I think everyone has to condition themselves. Like, they're not in position right now to go chase the Super Bowl. And so I don't think you want to like make that Khalil Mack, we're trading everything just to get this, you know, season off the ground in a way that we want to. I think you have to be taking the long view here and making sure that you're building something that you can sustain success with. And they've Joe Tooney being the latest example. They've handed a lot of extension money out here in the last couple months, and so you got to keep an eye on the books.
But Tooney is an example. Tooney's kind of an example, Dan. I mean, they saved cash. They have money to spend that they wouldn't have had.
Yes, they reserve that for something.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No question. And, but now also you've got a guy under contract for 2 years beyond this that's going to be making a ton of money. He's going to be 35 by the time that contract ends. And so you got to make sure that as you're attacking your present, that you're also keeping yourself in a healthy position for your future. And so that's kind of the balancing act that Ryan's going to have to do up there.
So when we talk about the backup quarterback position, there's an assumption, and maybe it's a proper one, that Tyson Bagent is going to be the backup quarterback. We have yet to hear from Case Keenum, Dan, or have we? And I just didn't remember what he had to say, because I'm very curious how he views his role, why he chose the Bears, and what he's looking for.
Would he watch tape with a guy?
Yes.
David, I have a page in my notebook that has all those questions scrawled in it for the first time we get to talk to Case Keenum. It has not happened yet. So we don't know that yet. And obviously, I think he's a guy that's here for the veteran guidance part of the equation. I will tell you that the best throw, single throw, that I saw on the May 21st Tuesday OTA practice or Wednesday OTA practice was Tyson Bagent to Miles Boykin. So put that in your notebook as the best throw of the day yesterday.
Dan just opened the Bagency.
There you go.
I knew you would like that.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Yes. There's a lot of juice for the Bagency.
You know,
there should be.
Bet Johnson yelled at Cole Kmet at one point.
Were you okay with that, Dan?
He actually yelled at him. And I don't know if feelings were hurt, but
Dan's feelings were hurt.
Yeah.
Leave his favorite player alone.
Back off. But I said to David, I said, well, it's not like he's going to run into the building and say, we drafted his replacement, trade him. It's just, it's an install, and the guy lined up wrong, and you tell him to go over there, and I'm sure he won't make the mistake again. He's a really bright guy, Cole Kmet. But what, you know, how much does that speak to the head coach that he's kind of in this, he's in this honeymoon phase where he can go off on everybody if he wants to, not that he wants to, but because as he gets to know these guys, that might become more difficult when he knows their learning process and how good they are, et cetera.
Well, and you got to know personalities as well, and you got to understand who you can do that with and who you can't. Grody and I talked a couple months ago, and we're going to revisit it today, about these little shiny lures that Bears fans are going to want to like bite and latch onto about, there's never been a practice as intense and detailed as this. May 21st, it was the confirmation that the Bears had turned the corner and it's all fixed because they got a guy that's demanding. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm cool with the observations. Like, the conclusions will wait for several months, and we'll see kind of how, again, how Ben navigates this. His personality is very authentic. It's very demanding. It's very fiery, as we mentioned. And now you just have to figure out how to use that properly, because, you know, there could come a time where that doesn't necessarily click with every single guy in your room. And you got to make sure that you understand, you know, the emotional intelligence part of that, on who you can do that with, who you can't. And that'll be part of the head coach learning process.
Great job, Dan.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
All right, fellas, be good.
You too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Just to be clear on the stadium, if everything comes together, yes. You guys have said the focus is now the lakefront.
Yep.
Everything comes together, all the obstacles, the money. The plan is to put a shovel on the ground on the lakefront, or does Arlington Heights get a chance to come back? And
the plan would be to put a shovel on the ground on the lakefront.
You sure about that?
All right, I'll say it on the air.
Say it on the air.
This is the Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Grody on The Score. I think we need to do a montage of all the lakefront talk and put it to some sort of song that bids goodbye. Because some of us always knew what the plan was.
Mark, you going to raise your hand?
I mean, like when asked the question of the stadium, I was wanted it downtown, but when I really had to say where it's going to be, I'd say I think it's going to end up being in Arlington.
See, it's going to be where you spent hundreds of millions of dollars.
Walk me through the I want it to be downtown and what they were going to do with that land.
With Darlington Heights, yes. Land, what they would have, who cares what they would have done with
no,
that
the
land.
Downtown land.
I mean, I'm saying yeah. with a, I'm just saying from a practical standpoint, you bought a 326 acre property.
Yeah.
What are you doing with that if you're not building a stadium on it, if you're the Bears?
Sell it.
You just think it's that easy to just flip?
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing that's
you're stuck with a nice big property.
If there's one thing that's really moving right now, it's large tracts of land built for resident, you know.
He watches a lot of HGTV.
You could build a bunch of houses on there. The Bears, would have survived, obviously.
With supply costs, you think that the street is really into houses building right now?
Why would they have allowed Kevin Warren to put on a two-hour presentation downtown as thorough as he did if they weren't serious about it?
Because Kevin Warren did everything he was supposed to do and everything he could once he got the job
they were serious,
to try to fix it.
Well, they were serious enough about it that they didn't really care about the Arlington Heights property. They would have I realize it's a complicated matter, but they would have figured it out. They would have done something with it, and maybe they would have sold the property. Obviously, George McCaskey, the McCaskey, said, go ahead, Kevin Warren. If you want to make your play for downtown, we'll listen, unless you guys are saying it was a ploy the whole time.
I don't even think it was a ploy. I think that at best, you can argue it was an insurance plan. What's going on in Arlington Heights?
Yeah.
I never got to the point, though, where I believed it was a secondary thing as opposed to the primary thing, because I never could figure out where money was coming from to get it built down here and how they were going to get permission also to build it down here.
So I can't even believe we're having this discussion.
Layla, do you not think that Kevin Warren was being serious?
I think if you look at the actions and the process and the order that everything happened in, it is easy to see what was going on. I don't accuse Kevin Warren of anything because I think he was brought in to do a job. But the way this is done is typically a team will say, we want to be at X or Y place. Then the municipalities get into a bidding war as to what incentives they want to offer. It's not usually the case where a team says, here's a bunch of land, we should buy that. And then they do. And then they communicate to everybody that that is their sole focus. Also, keep in mind, this whole thing originally started because reportedly, according to Freedom of Information Act searches and everything else, because it's a public entity, that the Bears wanted to put a sports book at Soldier Field and the city said no. That's a part of this too that is underreported. But that was originally one of the main stories. They go out and get Arlington Heights. Then they tell everybody it's their sole focus. If it really wasn't, they would have sold it because nobody wants to have land that you're paying taxes on sit there vacant for 2 years. They paid $197 million for it. I always thought it was going to be there. They just put their order of operations was incorrect. So Kevin Warren comes in, and it's his job to try to build some sort of leverage to then therefore get the tax rate that's more favorable.
So it was all leverage then. Kevin Warren was never serious about wanting a stadium.
I think he was doing what he could to try to get a more favorable outcome, period.
Okay, so
they never did anything with the land. Yeah. They could have put it back up for sale.
I think also when you're talking about were they serious, yes, I think they were serious if they could get something that was palatable to them. My point is they were never going to get a palatable enough deal. And it does create leverage when you have multiple sites going up against each other. And that's how they got to the tax rate that they have right now before building.
I agree with that. I think I am agreeing with Layla too, but I am more positive, I think, opinion, I suppose, that Kevin Warren was very serious about wanting it to be downtown. That, yeah, leverage came along the way, and you had to have that in your back pocket, so to speak. But I do think that Kevin Warren wanted the ideal, and maybe it was never realistic. That I'll give, but I do think that he wanted that thing downtown.
A47's like that property in AH would be perfect for a mall and condos. They're not building malls. I don't know if you've noticed
malls
that, but those are not necessarily something that you can fill right now with tenants.
I think a team worth billions, that it sounds crazy, but if they had gotten clearance to build downtown, they would have figured out what to do with the Arlington Heights property, even if it's selling the Arlington Heights property.
I get what Kevin Warren was trying to do. I don't even take it as personally as a lot of people have. But the order of operations was all off. Here's the frustrating part is only later did the city and our tax dollars spend money for a presentation to the Bears after the Bears had already bought Arlington Heights. And then they're like, oh, here's all the things that we can do to Soldier Field. As if Cook County doesn't still owe over $500 million on renovations. That's the thing that I always go back to here. It is as simple as follow the money.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that The money is a huge part. The leverage is a huge part. Simply put, I think Kevin Warren wanted it downtown.
There's a lot of things we all want that we know aren't really going to happen.
Did you just end it with Bears?
No, he didn't say Bears.
I thought you said Warren wanted it downtown.
The reason that when I say I wanted it downtown, I always knew the reasonable place to have it, obviously, is Arlington Heights. So I'm not arguing against anything you're saying. I'm just saying I am saying that Kevin Warren wanted it downtown. I don't think you guys necessarily believe that. That's what I'm feeling right now.
We're talking right now, Raheem Harris, and yes, Mark Grody, the dissenting voice this particular segment on the Bears stadium situation and their decision to now focus on Arlington Heights as opposed to what we had prior, which was the focus on the lakefront, which we heard over and over and over and over again, and now that's over.
Yeah, which sucks, by the way. I hate it.
It's an easy thing to say. It's an easy thing to say where your focus is, but it's an evident thing to say where your money went.
Yeah, well,
their money went to Arlington Heights.
And I admit part of this is what I wanted. I love that property. I love Soldier Field being, or the stadium, whatever it would become, to be along the lakefront. And I like my teams being in the city of Chicago proper.
And you know what? No one is over here hating on your wants or your needs. We want you to get what you want and you need,
Mark
Grody.
Do you?
I do. Okay. I do. All Unfortunately, the Bears' wants and needs come before yours in this conversation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the Bears' wants were to be downtown, and now they need to probably be in Arlington Heights.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the point here. And so none of this should have come to a surprise to anyone who's actually been paying attention. And I know this did not surprise Mark Grody nor Layla Rahimi, certainly not me. And I'm just wondering, when is this all going to take place? The shovels in the ground in 2025 sound very realistic now based on this focus shift. And also, how long will it take to complete said project?
Right. I don't think there's time now to go back to downtown, for sure. I'm resigned to the idea that it's going to be in Arlington Heights now. Like, if you want to put shovels in the ground by 2025, and I heard Mark Gannis on this morning with Molly and Haw, that there's so much more that they still have to do to get to the point where you're putting the shovels in the ground, to the point where he did mention early 2026 is when the shovels actually might go in the ground.
Construction costs will be so reasonable. Let's listen to Mark Gannis from this morning.
Well, you know, the White Sox have got the luxury of time. That building has been it has been maintained very well. So they have the luxury of time, but their lease comes up somewhere around 2030 also. Mm. I've forgotten the exact date. So it's the kind of thing that needs to get done now. I mean, and Jerry is ready, willing, and able. Look, I've had the pleasure of being able to spend a little time with him recently, and you know, we've had a lot of discussions in politics these days about, you know, people who are in their 80s and whether, you know, where they are cognitively. Let me tell you something. Jerry Reinsdorf is as sharp as he has ever been. This man is brilliant. He's, 88 years old now?
Right.
And he is so sharp, so smart, so on top of things. This is the guy you want to do a deal with. He's done it before. He's done it multiple times before. He's the guy that can get things done. That's the guy they should be working with right now.
So Mark Gannis threw out there the concept of Jerry Reinsdorf working with the Bears. And I know they were both battling for public funds for stadiums. So that was a wrinkle that was brought in this morning as well.
I'd rather see the White Sox at the 78.
Mm. We took a Sox turn here. Whoa. Wasn't ready for that.
Well, no, I'm just saying. And
sorry about that. I had to get us from point A to B somehow.
The idea that the White Sox would be that far away. Now I'm with you, Mark Grody, on where you want your teams to play, right? Because I'm not going to Arlington Heights for a baseball game. Yeah, that's a different type of commute. We're talking about when do the White Sox play?
During the summer?
No, I mean, like, what time of day do they play?
Oh, at night, yeah.
Like, can you imagine White Sox fans trying to get to Arlington? That doesn't make any sense.
They have a hard enough time getting to the ballpark that exists right now.
Exactly.
So my point being, it would be like in Arlington Heights. But there are a lot of fans in the suburbs, too.
That makes no sense for Jerry Reinsdorf, although all that really makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf right now is just keep the money coming. Keep printing the money.
I think if he knows a way to if he knows a way to somehow subsidize a stadium, he'll do it.
Yes.
That's the ballpark they're in right now is publicly funded. So I get that concept and that part of it as well. But as far as the original concept, the Bears argument would have been a lot more believable had they not sat on a $200 million piece of land.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, like I said, wanted it downtown. And anybody that asked me, like privately or on the air, where do you think it's going to be? You have to Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
Arlington Heights.
Yeah. I think.
Also, it's still just, you only get eight or nine games regular season. That's all the guarantee is for a football stadium. And that's why I think that has to factor in here as well. Ballpark is different. You're talking about 81. So that also would make it make more sense for the public's money if there is any part of it. But
I think that's a great point, Layla. And the other thing is, even after they open this thing out in Arlington Heights, let's take Beyonce for instance. Is she going to perform out in Arlington Heights, or is she going to perform at Soldier Field?
Well, the concert wouldn't have ended at 1 o'clock on Thursday night and Friday morning if it had been in a dome.
Well, I think the problem is Bears 2 will probably be playing at Soldier Field, so Beyonce will not be allowed in the building.
At Bears 2, the game comes to you. Like, where do the people want Bears 2?
A floating dome?
Is it at a high school stadium? Let's go.
Yeah, hey, whatever. We were talking about Grant Park. Like, you could get rid of the softball fields, let Bears 2 play there.
I like those softball fields. Kickball.
I do, too. I've played on them many times.
My favorite part of the Bears stadium discussion was where everybody just wanted to blow up sites to put the Bears. Like, it became about people's preferred place that they wanted to destroy.
Every town was raising their hands. We got room for you at this Top Golf. It was like, let's go. Bring the Bears here.
At some point, people just started getting rid of, like, people they hated, houses. You know, like, it just started to get really personal with the places they wanted to put the Bears stadium.
It did.
That was my favorite part. The destruction. This is construction.
Demolition.
Still fun, just
the
not
demolition
the same.
That would occur.
We have more coming up with Raheemy Harris and Grody on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you think of the way Ben Johnson handled questions about Caleb Williams and the comments attributed to Carl Williams about not wanting Caleb to play for the Bears?
When you hear it uttered, as in from the article, from the upcoming book, that Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. Like, from a distance, did you see that? And what do you think when you hear that?
I love it. I love it. I love the opportunity to come on in and change that narrative. That's where great stories are written. And so we're looking to write a new chapter here, 2025 Chicago Bears, and looking forward to the future.
All right. Your reaction to what you heard there from Ben Johnson, that question asked by our very own Mark Rohde.
Could not have answered it any better. Could not have hoped for a better response. That's leadership. That's crisis management. That's something that we aren't used to hearing, frankly, from Hallis Hall. You get ahead of the story. You don't shy away from a challenge. You acknowledge it and move on. And it's time to move on. I know that we're not going to be able to until we hear from Caleb Williams, which might have been the misstep from yesterday, the biggest one, because he could have made this all go away. And the sooner this goes away, the better. Because what Ben Johnson said is exactly right. He came here, and because he is here, to embrace this challenge, a lot of this other stuff is moot. Caleb Williams, even without saying anything to address whether or not he, was reluctant about coming to where quarterbacks go to die, as his father put it, his actions have spoken much louder than any words could. This is somebody that we complimented during the season, after the season, before the season, for the way that he embraced being in the city, being part of the culture here. The sports culture and otherwise. He's everywhere. He's at schools at Whitney Young and Lane Tech. He's at games. What else do you need to see to say that Caleb Williams likes Chicago and loves being the Bears quarterback? I don't know. If we need to hear him at a press conference, fine. Ben Johnson could not have handled that any better. Like guys before him, Ozzie Guillen, Joe Maddon, the great managers and coaches, he deflected the attention away from his players and brought it to himself. Well done.
I agree. Well done. He looked that one right in the eye and addressed it wholeheartedly. But unfortunately, I have to say, it is typical Bears. You know, you're going to trot out Joe Tooney. You're going to trot out Tremaine Edmonds. And you're not going to let the fans or the media have the quarterback. Like, just finish it. As good as Ben Johnson did, the team dropped the ball. I've got to imagine Caleb Williams wanted to address this. We just talked about Connor Bedard being consulted or given a heads up. Do you think I'm guessing behind the scenes that Caleb wanted to talk, and for some reason the Bears didn't let him talk. I don't understand that. I'd love to know the reason why.
Yeah, I think you're guessing on that. I'm definitely not reporting it. You're allowed to have your beliefs, but I don't think that that's necessarily accurate. I don't know. Let me tell you something. That was the exact correct scripted type of response. That was exactly what you needed at that moment. I'm not saying he scripted it, but I'm saying that was like absolutely the pitch perfect response. Just got it, nailed it. See ya, bye. That was perfect. He did a great job responding to that question. It was an excellent question. Grody knows what he's doing, and it was almost like, you know, Ben Johnson did know it was coming, and he knew exactly what he wanted to say about it. And honestly, you couldn't script it any better.
It gives you confidence perfect. That he knows how to handle
no doubt
delicate situations and to respond in a way that inspires confidence.
Yeah, and I mean, this whole season is really goes back to that question and that response, because let's see the story unfold. Mm-hmm. It is exactly the kind of story you want to read here in Chicago. And that guy kind of laid it out for you. Just let it sing.
Ben Johnson, there are parallels between the perceived reluctance of Caleb Williams coming to Chicago, where quarterbacks go to die, and Ben Johnson coming to a franchise that not exactly known for being a cradle for coaches.
You know, the perceived reluctance of the quarterback versus the aggressive optimism of the coach. He wanted this job. He got on the conference call with these guys and said, hey, I want this job. Yep. In case you don't know, yep. I want this job. That's, you know, that's how you get paid. That was exactly what this guy has. He's hit it out of the park a few different times. Guy's excellent. Really been good with what he's had to say. And so let's see him follow it up. Yep. Let's see it. Let's see it unfold. Mully and Haw.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Were you impressed that the Bears saved themselves a significant amount of money in cap space with the Joe Tooney extension? What will they do with the savings? Are you interested in a running back or a pass rush specialist?
Joe Tooney's guarantee of $33.5 million is great for somebody who turns 33, I think, later this year. So it's a good deal for him. It's a smart deal for the Bears. It provides certainty at their most shaky position group. They needed to upgrade the offensive line, and this is putting money where your mouth is and allocating your resources appropriately. I want them to now go out and use the money and the cap savings, as much as $8 million, I think they split in half.
Yeah.
And they conceivably could get both, but I think if you want one or the other, I would lean toward running back. I think you began this offseason with a question about who was going to complement DeAndre Swift. And with due respect to Kyle Manungai, he's a seventh-round draft pick who was, I think, the 22nd running back selected. I think he could be one of the bigger surprises in the draft, a day three steal, if you will. But I also think that you can't count on seventh-round draft picks to be the missing piece to your offense. They still have a missing piece to their offense. It's a void that has yet to be filled. Use the extra money. Explore J.K. Dobbins, explore Nick Chubb, explore the most healthy, productive veteran running back still on the market, and find room on the payroll for him. You need, for a good play-action passing game to function, a strong running game threat. You don't have that yet. You have a strong offensive line. You've got DeAndre Swift for the perimeter. You need somebody that's going to run downhill and get you the tough yard. And the Bears still can add that.
Yes, go add your pound. Go add that guy to the backfield. I'm agreeing with you on that, David. It is interesting how, I it's too much math for me, but that Tooney is only costing you $8 million in this year's cap, and tip of the cap to Brad Biggs, and that's where I first learned that from. He's the first one to put that out there, as usual. Killing it on the Bears beat. So that's good. And listen, they spent a lot of money on defense, on the defensive line in the offseason. I mean, they invested in that kid from the Colts. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, we still need that. Well, then what's that guy for? Like, that guy needs to show that he can get after the passer a little bit. So let's tap the brakes on that, see who's available at the last second. Also, can one of these guys step up, right? Can one of the guys that you drafted step up on defense and get after the quarterback a little bit?
Yeah, I think the answer is probably running back, just because what kind of scheme are you running? You know, you're going to run play action. Wouldn't that indicate that you're going to need someone more capable of running between the tackles than DeAndre Swift is? I think they need a running back, and I think they can sign one, and I think this is – $6 million goes a long way if that was the cap savings. And then you know, I don't know how far they're – I don't know what kind of deal they're going to give somebody or what they will do. They will be – we know who's out there right now, but there will be other people out there. So we'll see. But I definitely think you – I think it's going to be easier to get a running back than it is to get a pass rusher. I think if you wanted a pass rusher, you kind of needed to – address that already, unless you're willing to make a huge deal or do something that is a little bit unexpected. So I think that they'll probably go with the running back. That's my opinion.
Easier to find?
I think so.
I think that I could envision Nick Chubb creating more of an impact than maybe a Jadeveon Clowney, if you want to look at two veterans who are still unsigned.
Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney is absolutely still out there.
He's a pass rusher for hire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would probably work for cheap.
Yeah.
And could make some kind of an impact, but I don't think that you're going to have your defensive success dictated one way or another by him. Whereas I do think a running back could make a more significant quick impact.
Yeah, it can really make a big impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.